أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، this is the sixth verse of Surah Al-Hujurat. The shan and usul of this verse, or the background of the revelation of this verse, is Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her father, Harith ibn Abi Zirar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the leader of the tribe of Banu Mustaliq. The tribe of Banu Mustaliq was a very, very wealthy tribe. So Harith ibn Abi Zirar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Madinatul Munawwara. At that time he was a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him to Islam, and he accepted Islam. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that you go back to your tribe and invite your tribe to the deen of Islam. And invite them to the other tenets of Islam. Harith ibn Abi Zirar radiallahu ta'ala told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that my tribe is very wealthy and very rich, and I will also invite them to give zakat. He also told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that send your representative on a certain time, so that if I have accumulated any zakat, I will give it to your representative. He in turn will come and give it to you, and you could distribute the zakat to the poor and needy people of Madinatul Munawwara. Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes back to his tribe. Being the leader of the tribe, influential person of the tribe, he invited the people to Islam, and within a short period of time, many people accepted Islam. He also invited the people to give out zakat, and he collected zakat. On this side, in Madina Munawwara, on that appointed time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Walid ibn Uqba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to go meet up Harith ibn Abi Zirar in the tribe of Banu Mustaliq. Walid ibn Uqba radiallahu ta'ala goes to the tribe of Banu Mustaliq, and just when he reaches there, he noticed that there are some people waiting outside the tribe. On that side, Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on that appointed time, he thought that the representative of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be coming, so they should be making ikram and ordering the representative of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he and a few people from the tribe, they went out of the town to welcome the representative of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walid ibn Uqba radiallahu ta'ala saw a group of people waiting for him. Sometime in the past, there was some bad blood between him and people of the tribe of Banu Mustaliq. So a thought came to his mind that these people are waiting outside for me. Probably they are planning to kill me, planning to assassinate me, or they wanted to cause some harm and danger to me. So he took a U-turn and he went to back to Madina Munawwara, and he told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Harith ibn Abi Zirar and his people, this was according to his thought, plotted to kill him and assassinate him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this. that Harith رضي الله تعالى عنه, the father of his wife Maymuna رضي الله تعالى عنها, such an influential and powerful person, would he do such a thing like this? It was a concern to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially when Harith رضي الله تعالى عنه himself said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that send your representative to collect zakat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not act on the information of Harith ibn Abi Zurarah radiallahu or Walid ibn Uqba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu and told to him, go to the tribe of Banu Mustalik and meet Harith ibn Abi Zurarah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and verify the information that Walid ibn Uqba has given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to a tribe of Banu Mustalik. On that side, Harith ibn Abi Zurarah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he felt that on that appointed day, nobody came. Is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam angry with him? Is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upset with him? Why is it that after taking a time from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send a representative, the representative of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come? So if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam angry with me, he upset, what happened? So this was bothering him. So he then decided to undertake a journey and go to Madinatul Munawwara and to meet up with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inquire. So as he was coming to Madinatul Munawwara, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala from Madinah Munawwara proceeding to a tribe of Banu Mustalik. They met on the way. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala told to Harith ibn Abi Zurarah radiallahu ta'ala, what is the matter? You told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send a representative. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a representative, you have plotted to kill him. This information came as a shock to Harith ibn Abi Zurarah radiallahu ta'ala. He said, we did not plan to kill him, cause him any harm or danger. We were in fact waiting outside the town to welcome him, and nobody turned up. And we are worried that why did the representative of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't come? So that is why I am on my way to Madina Munawwara to inquire from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard, when Harith radiallahu ta'ala heard this of Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this was a matter of concern to him. He then goes back to Madinatul Munawwara and he meets up with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly and tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there is no such kind of information, that they plan to kill Walid ibn Uqba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was on this that the sixth verse of Surah Al-Hujurat was revealed, wherein Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, when information come to you, don't just accept information, verify information. Until and unless you don't verify the information, you could be misled. There's always another side to the story. Similarly, in the incident of Ifk, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out in one safar with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and en route Madina Munawwara, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha lost her necklace. She went to relieve herself, she come back, she noticed her necklace is lost. She goes back into the area to look for her necklace, and by the time she returned, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba left with the caravan. So she waited there. One Sahabi, who had a habit of sleeping a lot, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that when you wake up and you are right at the back of the caravan, so before you come, you must check around if anybody lost anything, left anything, you must bring all that and come with you. So on that particular occasion, as he was coming, he had seen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha before the Lord of Hijab and Parda. And from far he had noticed that that is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala that is left behind and she stranded. He goes nearby, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He takes the camel He puts it down. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala sits on the camel, and Safwan radiallahu ta'ala escorts Aisha radiallahu ta'ala to the camp of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this gave an opportunity to the leader of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay. Abdullah ibn Ubay, the leader of the Munafiqeen, his son's name was also Abdullah. Who was a Mukhlis Sahabi radiallahu anhu. So the leader of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he found an ideal opportunity to accuse Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha with Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he spread a rumor among people. Allah forbid that there was bad relationship between Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this news spread. Everywhere the news spread. To the extent that there were some sincere sahaba that caught up in the scandal. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife was Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. Her sister Hamana bint Jahash got also involved in this. A sahabi who is a Badri sahabi, Miftah radiallahu ta'ala anha, also got caught up in this. The famous poet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anha, also got caught up in this. And then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nur, لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين. When such information went around, why did you just accept the information? Why didn't the believing male and the believing female think good about the person? And why did you immediately throw that accusation out and say هذا إفك مبين? That is an open accusation. إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبون هينا وهو عند الله عظيم. That when you be taking that information from the tongues of people and passing over that information, and you regard that passing information, just accepting information from one to the other and passing it to the third, fourth, fifth in the entire community and society, you regard that thing to something like that's a serious crime. Further Allah says, وَلُوْنَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَنَّ تَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. When such information came, why didn't you say, it's not appropriate for us to talk this? سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. سُبْحَانَكَ, Allah is pure. And this is an open accusation. So even in the incident, if in the incident where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala became a victim of the false accusation, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala also condemned accepting information without verifying information. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayh, he says that when anybody comes and tells you something about the next person, there are certain things that you should do. Firstly, don't be afraid. It could be a friend, it could be somebody very close to you, but don't be afraid to ask him, did you verify the information? Sometimes what happens, when somebody is very close to us and they give us information, we simply accept the information, we digest the information, we eat it up, we drink it, we sleep with it and we think with it. We don't verify the information. So first thing, when anybody tells you anything about the next person, verify, verify. Is it true, is it not true, ask him. If he says, no, I heard this, then condemn him. How can you pass information to me without verifying it? And that is a shari responsibility to condemn him, because that is nahi anil munkar. How can he pass over information to you without having verified the information? The third etiquette is that don't practice on the content of the information that is passed to you. Whatever it may be, don't practice on the contents. Don't believe in the contents. And the first thing that one should do is that what you stopping the next person from doing, you telling the next person not to pass over information without verifying the information, you yourself also don't do the same thing. Maybe you stop him today, tomorrow you may do the same thing and pass over that information. And this creates fitna, mischiefs in the community and society. One person had a slave, had a habit of gossiping. but very hard working slave. So he went to a bazaar marketplace to sell the slave. Very cheap, but very hard working, young, energetic, very intelligent. So one potential purchaser came and purchased the slave. The seller told to a purchaser, "I'm selling the slave, very young, very energetic. He's got one habit of gossiping." So the purchaser thought that, "What does this matter to me? I need a slave to work for me. And if he's young, he's energetic, he's intelligent, it will fulfill my purpose." So he purchased the slave. After a few days, when the slave came into the house, found his feet in the house, he got used to the master, he got used to the master slave. Now he started. He goes first to the master's wife and he tells to her, "I've got some very bad information for you." So, and the wife, she got worried. "What's the information?" "I've just heard that your husband is about to take another wife. But for a woman, that is death. Somebody might come tell a woman quietly, secretly, and depend on how the person presented information in such an influential way, with much concern on the face, your wife, your husband is about to take another wife. Finish. That is like malakul maut case for a wife." So she got worried. But then he gives her encouragement and he says, "No, don't worry. What you must do is that when he sleeps at night, you will just cut out one part of his beard. I've got a certain amal to do, and inshallah, he won't take another wife." So she got very happy with that as well. He finished up with her. Now he goes up to the husband. Said, "I've got some information for you." "What's it?" "When he's a young, energetic slave, working very, very hard, and so loyal to a master." Now the master says, "What's the matter?" So he says to her, says to him, "It has just reached me that your wife is plotting to kill you and assassinate you. And you must be very careful. She plans that when you sleep, that's the time she's going to come with a razor and she's going to slit your throat open." So he goes home to sleep, but he's doing as though he's sleeping and he closes his eyes. And there on the other side, the wife takes a razor. She wants to actually cut a part of the beard to give the person to make amal. And when he comes over, when she comes over with that razor, immediately what the husband told, what the slave told to him, it turned out to be true and correct. That there the wife is coming with a razor, he immediately got so angry, and the state of anger, he took that razor and he actually slit the wife, slit the throat of that wife. Now, where did information came up from? If the information came to a wife, instead of acting on the information, she would have consulted her husband directly and verified the information. And when the husband got the information, he wouldn't have acted on that. He would have approached his wife and asked her directly for the information. But now both of them, they acted on hearsay and they practiced on that. And this has far-reaching implications on in accepting information without verifying it. One person came to Qadi Shuraih. One case, he was a judge. A woman came up to him and she presented her case before him. And she was crying. You know, sometimes when you hear people's cases, people's stories, problems, and somebody presents the case, so in a very sympathetic way, she presented the case. So all the people that were around Qadi Shuraih, they felt very sorry for the woman. And they told to Qadi Shuraih, we feel sorry for this woman. Look at her, how she's crying, she's presenting her case. And really, that she's a victim of circumstances. So Qadi Shuraih says, "So your conclusion is just because she's crying? Is it not so that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they put Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in a well, and then they came to the father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam and they also cried? And they presented their case as though they are innocent and in which ate Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam up. So they were also crying. So just because somebody is crying was accepted information. Obviously the criteria is, don't accept one-sided information until you don't hear the other side of the story. That is why when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Yemen as a judge, he told the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I don't know how to judge, and he sent me as a judge. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave only one criteria. to determine the truth. To cross information, cross examine information and to verify the truth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told one thing, Ya Ali, la taqdi hatta tasma'a kalaman akhar. But Ali, you should not come to a conclusion, don't issue a decree on anything without hearing the other side of the story. And that is what we should do in all our issues. Sometimes what happens in the domestic life, in the family life, suddenly somebody comes home very, very angry, very upset. Why? Because one family member said something about the next family member. And the person accepted the information, digested the information, and now immediately the negative facial expressions. Now instead of doing that and accepting the information, confirm the person directly, verify. Often it happens that when the person gets information and he verifies the thing, it's completely different, it's out of context, and now instead of contextualizing the issue and understanding the issue, the person accepted the information and he got angry and upset, and now his direction of thinking is completely changed. The same thing happens in community and societies where somebody has told something about the next person without verifying the information. Now you even confront the person, you accept the information, and now you have a negative thought about the person. But this is a total injustice in the community and society, total injustice in family life and so forth. So therefore it is very, very important that one adopts a very fair, balanced attitude in every aspect of life. Don't accept information without verifying the information from the other side. Previously, things used to happen manually, where one person says something in the community, then the second says the third says the fourth says the fourth, and then slowly, maybe think 1 year before 10 or 15 people hear about it. But now in this world of technology, where you got thousands of people in your mailing list, and you got one email telling something bad about the next person. Now, due to the click of with a click of a button, that information, negative information about someone, it goes and to about 1,000 people, 10,000 people, and then to those 10,000 people, they got their mailing list, a couple of good thousand. With a click of a button, just to split second, that wrong information goes to probably thousands of people. Now, in the olden days, if some information was transmitted manually, probably it was easier to make tawbah. Now even more difficult to make tawbah. That time, if you probably could go to a different people and try to rectify the situation. Will it be possible nowadays to go to millions of people and verify the information, or to make tawbah and tell them the information I passed was wrong? Therefore, that whilst you have to practice precaution, ihtiyat, nowadays with modern technology, you have to be even more careful. And we make sure that when information comes, you don't act on the information, you don't pass over the information to the next person, otherwise you're sitting with a very big burden to answer in the akhirat. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem in verse 6 of Surah Al-Hujurat, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in. That only who believe, if a transgressor brings information to you, then investigate it. Verify that information. Perchance you cause harm to a nation out of ignorance. If you accepted an information, then and you act on that information, you may have caused harm to someone out of ignorance, because you have acted on information without verifying the information. And then later on when you discover that you have incorrectly acted on that information, then you could have regret. So فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. And then you will be regretting on that which you have done. We go, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that where any information comes to us, we don't act on the information, we verify the information, and in that we'll be safeguarding ourselves from lots of harm in every aspect of life. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.